So in this, Shukadev talks about Parashuram's ancestry, how he killed this Kartavir Arjun, and then on the order of his father, Parashuram tells him to kill his mother. Why? Because his mother, within her mind, committed adultery. So Parashuram's father, Jamadagni, first asked Parashuram's elder brothers, kill your mother, and they refused. So then Jamadagni said to Parashuram, kill your mother. Immediately he did it. And then Jamadagni said, very good, my son. What benediction do you want? Parashuram said, bring my mother back to life with no remembrance of this incident. Jamadagni said, tatastu. In other words, Parashuram knew the power of his father. That's why he didn't hesitate. He knew someone like Jamadagni can do something and then immediately make up for it. There are other incidents in the Bhagavatam like this. Certain personalities, they're able to do something like this and then completely undo it. This Bhagavatam is fantastic. So much knowledge is here in Bhagavatam. There is even one chapter we read. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Yes. Then, the next incident, Parashuram destroys the Kshatriyas 21 times. Why? Because Parashuram realized that the Kshatriyas were not actually following the Vedic rules and regulations. They were bogus. So, 21 times he destroyed the Kshatriya races. And Prabhupada explains that those who escaped, they set up the kingdoms of Greece, Turkey, like that. That's where you get these nationalities. Those Kshatriyas who were able to escape. Because Bhagavatam explains that Parashuram with his axe was chopping off the heads of the Kshatriyas at the speed of the wind, and then when he was really fired up, the speed of the mind. The speed of the mind is faster than the speed of the wind. So when he was a little tired, speed of the wind. But when he was fired up, speed of the mind. So, Parashuram, please protect us. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. The ninth canto continues. Vishvamitra's son, Shunakshepa. The dynasties of the sons of Pururava. And then there's the story of King Yayati. King Yayati is one of Krishna's ancestors. Yayati, let's see how I can explain this quickly. Yes, Yayati had two wives, but one wife was the daughter of his guru, Shukracharya. The other wife was the daughter of a Kshatriya. And Shukracharya told Yayati not to have relations with the other wife, but he should only have with his daughter. So Yayati disobeyed. So Shukracharya said to Yayati, you lusty dog, you violated my injunction, your spiritual master. Therefore I curse you, immediately become an old man. And Yayati was thinking, wait a second. I haven't finished enjoying. I don't want to be an old man and not be able to enjoy. So Shukracharya said, okay, if you find somebody who will give you their youth for your old age, you can continue to enjoy. So who's going to do that? If some old man comes up to you and says, can I have your youth? Oh, yes, no problem, Baba. Please. No one's going to do that. So Yayati, he's so lusty, he approaches his sons. And he says, my dear sons, you love me. Give me your youth. And the son said. And he even at now, one of his sons was Yadu. The same Yadu who is the forefather of what dynasty? Now, he also refused, but he refused on religious principles, not out of sense gratification. His brothers rejected the offer simply out of sense gratification. But Yadu gave philosophy. And he said, no, my father, I cannot do this because unless I properly enjoy my youth, I won't be able to achieve renunciation later in my life. So that was considered religious. Same way, the four Kumaras, when they rejected Brahma's order to create progeny, it was not out of disobedience. They said, no, we are going to not comply with your wish because we want to stay fixed in transcendental knowledge. So even though Brahma got angry, he was able to control it because he accepted, at least it's on a religious principle. So Yadu also rejected. But finally, Yayati found his youngest son, Puru. And Puru said, yes, I will give you my youth so that you can enjoy. But what happens? And Yayati explains it to himself. The next section. Yayati's purport to the he-goat and the she-goat. So Yayati, and it's interesting how Prabhupada translates it. Yayati was experiencing a certain kind of sexual enjoyment that is considered transcendental. Now, Prabhupada does not explain it, but at least that's how he translates it. So it must have been some kind of special sexual relation because it was considered transcendental. But as Yayati, after some time, he goes with his wife and he says, you know what? I'm going to tell this story, the he-goat and the she-goat. And it's actually the story of them. And Yayati, in the midst of the story, says, I've been enjoying this transcendental sex life with you. And it's very fantastic, but what? I'm never satisfied. And that is the problem with material sense gratification. There's never satiation. You eat one gulab jamun. Two, three, four, five. Material happiness, there's no satisfaction. Just like none of you. But there are people out there, they smoke these electronic cigarettes. Maybe you've seen them in your schools. People smoking the, right? You've seen them? No? No, no. Wow, this is an advanced county. Because I see them all the time. You can see them driving in the car and the smoke comes out of the window. Anyway, people smoke one cigarette, two cigarettes. There's no end. So that's the problem with material sense gratification. So Yayati says, the only way to conquer this, you have to voluntarily give it up. Because there is no satiation. So there's this philosophy people have. Oh, you have some lusty desire. Fulfill it. But the problem is, it's never fulfilled. You want more. And you're never happy. Because that's what Maya does. Maya says, one more. Go ahead. One more. You do it. Maya says, let's do another. And another. And another. But it never ends. Just like a man should be satisfied with his religious wife. But sometimes a man thinks, I will have extra sexual affairs apart from my wife. But there's no satisfaction. And what happens? You run for president and you have to pay them off. Ooh. Classic example. Out of his own mouth. And they're finding new ones every day. Just today, 3 more on his score. The guy is racking it up, I'll tell you. So that's the lesson of this yayati. There is no satiation to material sense gratification. You're never going to be... And those of us who grew up in the 60s, we knew this. Because in 1965... At this time, summertime, what was the song that was heard every day? I can't get no satisfaction. We grew up with transcendental knowledge. The year that Prabhupada came to America, there were 3 songs. So in the summer, Rolling Stones were singing, I can't get no satisfaction. The Beatles were singing, help! That was their song, help! And what happened? Prabhupada came. I have the satisfaction. I heard your cries for help. I have come to save you. Srila Prabhupada ki. I remember it well. 1965. Can't get no satisfaction. Help. Prabhupada comes. Prabhupada gives the satisfaction. He gave us what? The Maha Mantra. Everybody, be satisfied. Ninth canto continues the story of Dushmanta and Shakuntala. And then the story of Maharaj Bharat. This is another Bharat. We heard about Bharat, the son of God, the other night. Right? The son of Rishabhadev. Okay. Then the story of Bharadwaj, the glories of Runti Dev, the dynasty of Bharat, dynasty of Mungad, the future of the Magadha dynasty, the lineage of the sons of Yayati. Then as we get close to the end of the ninth canto, the Yadu dynasty is explained. What does that tell you? Who's coming? And then, in the next chapter, the Yadu dynasty continues. So the final chapter of the ninth canto is entitled, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vyasadeva has been crafting this Srimad Bhagavatam scientifically from first canto, setting it up. So now we're about to go to 10th canto and hear strictly about So at the end of this ninth canto, Shukadeva Goswami gives a quick summary of Krishna Leela. You don't have it in your sheets because I did the homework today. So here is a quick summary of Krishna Leela. Are you ready to listen? Sit properly. Try to pay with rapt attention. Vasudev, you know who Vasudev is, right? Vasudev begot 8 highly qualified sons through the womb of Devaki. These included Kirtiman, Sushena, Bhadrasena, Riju, Samardana, Bhadra. So those are the first 6. Who killed those 6 sons? Kamsa. After he heard from somebody, who did he hear from? Narada Muni, the transcendental troublemaker. Yes. That's what Narada does. He stirs the pot. Because he tells Kamsa, Kamsa, you know what? I happen to know in your previous life, you were a demon. Your name was Kalanemi, and Vishnu killed you. We heard about that last night. On the shore of the ocean of milk, there was a fight, and the demons were destroyed. So during that battle, Kalanemi was killed by Vishnu, and Narada says, that's who you were, Kamsa, in your previous life. And guess what? You are going to be killed again by Vishnu in this life. Can you imagine? All right. And then the seventh child, Sankarshan. Everybody say. What's another name for Sankarshan? Balaram or Baladev. Same thing. The controller and serpent incarnation. The eighth son was the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Notice he says the supreme, in other words, the origin, which we learned in first canto. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Who remembers that line? Then say it. The whole Bhagavatam is based on that line. Bhagavatam is explaining Krishna is the origin of everything, including Radharani, including Balaram, the spiritual world. Everything begins with, yes, because that prayer of Brahma Sanhita, Anadi Adir Govinda Sarva Karnak, he has no origin other than himself. And he is the cause of all causes. The significance of that one line, if you actually understand it, you're good to go. You understand everything. The highly fortunate Subhadra, the one daughter, was your grandmother. Who was he speaking to? Maharaj Parikshit. Parikshit is the son of who? Huh? Yes, and Abhimanyu is the son of? Very good. So, Subhadra was the ninth child of Vasudev and Devaki. There are two references. So right here in ninth canto, it says, the one daughter Subhadra, because he's talking about Vasudev and Devaki, she's the one daughter. Whenever the principles of religion deteriorate and the principles of irreligion increase, the supreme controller, Hari, appears by his own will. Nobody can force Krishna. He comes out of his own free will. O King Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. He has his own personal desire. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Krishna acts through his material energy in creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation just to deliver the living entity out of his compassion and stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. Thus, he enables the living being to return home back to Godhead. There are so many references. Prabhupada uses this word, back, meaning that's where you came from. You can't use this word back to something that you never visited. You follow the context. Back means you were there, you left, and now you're going, so you're going back to Godhead. And Godhead means the kingdom of God, not the Brahma Jyoti. That's not the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is either Vaikuntha or your favorite, Goloka Vrindavan. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with the cooperation of Sankarshan Balaram, performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of such personalities as Brahma and Shiva, to show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali. So, this is why Krishna came, for our benefit, for those who take birth in Kali Yuga. He acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, that's why Krishna appeared, so that we would have something to deliver us from this age of Kali. So, if you don't have Srimad Bhagavatam, get it. That's what this whole Bhagavat's up to. It's not, I'm putting on a show here. This Bhagavatam is especially for those who do not have it. If you don't have it, Vedavit will make it possible for you for a very low discount price. Yes. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. Ah, listen now. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful. His cheeks are brilliant. His smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is known as Lila Purushottama. Everybody say. And he appeared as the son of Vasudeva, but immediately left his father's home and went to, where did he go? Vrindavan. Because where's Vasudeva? Mathura. He left, went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons and afterwards went to Dwaraka, where according to Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. Thereafter, Lord Sri Krishna created a misunderstanding between family members just to diminish the burden of the world. Simply by his glance, he annihilated all the demoniac kings on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and declared victory for Arjuna. Finally, he instructed Uddhava about transcendental life and devotion and then returned to his abode in his original form. Thus ends the ninth canto. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.